She holds it all in so well. She gives a little grin so you can't tell that she's aching, her heart breaking. He pushes down the pain inside. He tells you that he's fine, just to hide that he's broken, really broken. But you are the healer of our souls. You can step in and take control. You paid the cost of the life you gave for the lost. You were aching, your heart breaking. On the cross for me, you cried. And for my sorrow, Lord, you died. You were broken for the broken. You are the healer of our souls. You can step in and take control. If only we let go of this charade and be no more the pretender, and give it all in a holy surrender, holy surrender. You can't make it on your own. Meant to walk alone. You are the healer of our souls. You can step in and take control. If only we let go of this charade and be no more the pretender.
What do you believe? What do you believe? Together, here at First Reformed Church, we have agreed on a value statement that we put together a few years ago. Together, as a congregation, we have agreed on the Heidelberg Catechism. Our value statement, the Heidelberg Catechism, both of these are backed up very strongly with Scripture. Backed up very strongly. And it gets to the doctrine that really matters in the Christian faith. We're talking about who God is, what God has done, what the Word is, who Jesus is, the truth about sin and salvation, what the sacraments mean to us, what marriage is and what the church is. So together we have agreed on these doctrines of the faith, on the things that really matter. But what do we believe about disputed matters? That's what our scripture is going to talk about today. And I have a little story to illustrate what I'm talking about, something I just ran into this week. So I was at the Christian home, I think it was on Tuesday, and the new executive director there had a meeting with us pastors. They showed us a picture of what the new stained glass window in the chapel is going to look like when it's completed. This is something that had been in the works for a long time and is now going to get done. So keep watch on that over the next while as they get that put together. But I found something out when I was there. You know what? They do bingo. Did you know that? They do bingo at the Christian home. You know who runs it? The chaplain. Do you know that? The chaplain runs it. He runs it on video. So the video is taping him running the bingo, and then people in their rooms, they got their bingo cards, and if they get a bingo, they call in. Well, where is he doing this from? Of all places, he's doing this from the chapel. Can you believe it? Bingo out of the chapel? I looked it up just this week. Is bingo gambling? Is it gambling? Well, there's no way around it. Google says that it's gambling. The first thing that comes up when you type that in is bingo gambling? And Google says yes. Yes, it is. Well, what are your personal convictions when it comes to disputed matters? What are your convictions around things like alcohol, gambling, tattoos, movies, music? We just had a rapper in church. Can you believe it? What about the Sabbath? You mow your lawn on Sunday? And what about bad words? What words are okay? What words aren't okay in your vocabulary? Well, when it comes to these disputed matters, we're not talking about doctrinal issues here. We're talking about some of these disputed matters. What do we do about it in the church? How do we solve our differences on disputed matters? Today we're going to look at Romans chapter 14. We're going to start off with verses 1 through 12. Paul, he talks about what to do about disputed matters in Romans. We have some clarity on how we are to handle these things in the church. So, let us pray, and we're going to start off with the first 12 verses of Romans 14. I actually picked out this text for a different reason, but as I dove into it, I ran into some stuff that I had never really considered before. I'd read through this several times as I've read through the entire Bible, but every time you come to Scripture, new things start to pop out at you. And I hadn't really thought the way that Paul thinks here. And it's really interesting. So let's pray, and we're going to dive into it. Gracious God, we thank you for your holy word, and we pray for help from the Holy Spirit, that we are built up in faith today, you show us how we are to deal with disputed matters in the church. Lord, we know how to deal with doctrinal issues. We have to speak the truth in love. But Lord, what do we do about disputed matters? We ask for help in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's what we hear from God through the Apostle Paul here in the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 1. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. For God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give account of himself to God. This is the word of the Lord. So, when it comes to some of these disputable matters, are you weak? Or are you strong? Here in the church, as Paul talks about, this is a no judgment zone on disputable matters. Paul gives an example that was happening in Rome in his day, and it has to do with food. So the Christians that were living in Rome, maybe they were invited to a dinner party. Okay, so imagine you live in Rome, you're invited to a big dinner party, and when you are there, you are offered meat that had been sacrificed to idols, sacrificed to pagan gods. Well, the first Christian, maybe he grew up, maybe he has some history with all of this dedicated meat to pagans. And for him, in his conscience, he's like, you know what? I can't eat that. It's sin. I can't eat that food. I grew up with all of this this meat that was maybe, the animals maybe were strangled, and I can't eat it. So that's the first Christian. But the second Christian, he is like, man, I love me some steak. He's okay with idol meat. It's all right in his conscience. He's okay with it. Well, it's not a bad thing, but if we're thinking about weak and strong, that first Christian would be considered having the weaker view. He would have the weaker view. Because he's setting boundaries that go beyond Scripture. He's setting boundaries beyond Scripture. So he has the weaker view. The second Christian, the one he knows that idols are nothing, and that sacrificing meat to idols is also nothing. And he knows that he has freedom in Christ to eat whatever he pleases. He can eat whatever. He's got freedom in Christ. He would be considered the strong. So the weak would be the one that would set boundaries beyond Scripture. The strong would be the one that has a good biblical view when it came to the eating of meat or the eating of any food. And of course, the one that's in the strong category, he would thank God for that great tasting pagan meat, and he would enjoy it. So that was Paul's example. I want to give you a Barry example, one from my own life. I asked you before if you were weak or strong when it came to disputable matters. And I believe in this area, I would be on the weak side of the spectrum. So, all of you know that I take a bicycle trip with a group of friends from college. Every year, we've been riding a segment of the, along the Mississippi River on our bicycles all the way down. We started in Minnesota, and we've been going all the way down. We stopped in the middle of Louisiana this year, and we have 1 year left. We're going to head down through New Orleans and all the way down into the Gulf of Mexico. As far as the roads will take us, it's going to be an awesome trip. We have been following, it's not very well marked, but we've been following this thing called the Mississippi River Trail. And the Mississippi River Trail, it's not really a trail, it's just roads, and they put these signs up on the roads, okay? Some states do a really good job of marking these roads, other states don't, but this is the sign, MRT with the little bicycle here. Well, my other friends, they are all Christians. And they decided that they really, really wanted a tattoo of this. And they wanted that tattoo on the back of their calf, right here, so that when they're riding bicycle, other people riding bicycle behind them can see it. So all three of my fellow riders went down, and I waited. They went down and got these tattoos, but personally, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And they kind of had some wonderment about them, because they're like, Barry, you have a tattoo. What's your problem? I have a small tattoo of a tribal flame in the middle of my back. So they're like, what's the deal? But for me, I was like, oh, I just can't do it this time around. Well, if you're looking at Scripture, there's one prominent place that talks about tattoos. Okay? And that is in Leviticus. In Leviticus 19, verse 27, it says, "Do not cut your bodies for the dead or put tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord." Maybe for you, you're like, you know what? That settles it, right? Well, if we're doing good biblical interpretation, we're also looking at what else is in that section, and you'll find a few other things that are right next to this. It says, do not cut the hair at the sides of your head. So no trimming your sideburns. And it also says that you should not clip off the edges of your beard. I don't even have a beard. When it comes to tattoos, there is nothing in the New Testament that even mentions tattoos. We are no longer under Mosaic law. We are no longer under the list of rules that were given to make us right with God. My friends all got their tattoos. They consider that an area where they have freedom in Christ. But me? My conscience didn't allow me to go do it. I didn't feel good about it. In that way, if we're thinking about the strong and the weak, my friends, we could place in the stronger category when it came to tattoos. I'm stuck in the weaker section because I just didn't feel good about it. And I know from good Bible, you know, from a good look at my Bible, that I'm setting a boundary for myself that is beyond what Scripture calls for. But for me, I got my first tattoo before I was a Christian, but now I have new life, and I don't want to get another tattoo. I didn't feel right about it. So I would have the weaker view. Are you kind of getting that? The weaker view and the stronger view? The stronger view would be one that is, yes, based in Scripture and the truth of it. And the weaker view would be also based in Scripture, but would take a more severe, a more severe look at a disputable matter. But there's some interesting things that come along with this, with disputable matters, with weak and strong. And the truth of it is this: each of us will give an account before the Lord. And really, it's all about you and God. It's all about you and God. Like I said, the strong will stand on the word of God and good interpretation, and the weak might put some more restrictions on themselves that aren't necessary. But if you do that and you see it as sin, then it's sin for you. Did you catch that? So, biblically, when it comes to tattoos, I can find biblical stance on it that says, you know what, something as simple as an MRT logo on the back of my leg, scripturally, no big deal. But for me, oh, I just didn't feel right about it. So if I went about it anyway, and I went against my conscience, that would be sin for me. Or if that guy that was at the guy in Rome who was getting served meat that has been offered to idols, if he doesn't feel good about that and he eats the meat anyway, it's sin for him. It's really, really interesting to me. If it's sin for you, then it's sin. Many years ago, when I went to seminary, I stayed a few weeks with a retired pastor, and he was a teetotaler. He had never had a drop of alcohol in his life. If you look at biblical interpretation, is alcohol sin according to the word? Not if you drink in moderation. But if you consider it sin, If you consider it sin and your conscience confirms that for you, then it is. Stay away. Don't partake. And there is no need for you to change that conviction because of this sermon or any other reason. And we can ask ourselves all the different questions along here. What movies can you watch? What music can you listen to? Is it okay to play bingo at the Christian home, but not okay to go to the Ho-Chunk? It's between you and God. Are any bad words okay sometimes? And how about this big one? I know this was a big one in this community. Can you mow your lawn on Sunday? Huh? I don't know. Did you listen to verse 5? One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. What is he talking about here? What is Paul talking about? He's talking about the Sabbath. This is wild, isn't it? Like I said, what matters? What matters is our vertical relationship with God. We are called to live and die, not to ourselves, but to the Lord. And we are to set our eyes on Jesus with all we do. So yes, we do have freedom from the law of death because of Christ. We have freedom in Christ. Jesus has fulfilled the law. He has took the penalty of our sin on the cross, and he has died for us so that we will have eternal life. So we have freedom in Christ. But we do have to be careful, because we are not to use our freedom in Christ as an excuse to do what we want to do. We don't want to use our freedom in Christ to support our addictions, to skip out on being part of the church, or to leave our evil ways unchecked. Our vertical relationship with God matters. Well, what else matters? Our horizontal relationship with one another when it comes to these disputable matters, they're important too. So let's look at the last part of this chapter, 13 to 23. Here's what Paul says about how we are to live with one another when it comes to these disputable matters. When it comes to some of us being on the weaker side, some of us being on the stronger side of all of these issues. He says, "Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. So, don't put a stumbling block before your brother or sister. So, if you are on the stronger side of one of these issues, make sure that you don't tempt your brother or sister who are on the weaker side of things. So if you're hanging out with a bunch of friends and one of your friends is like, you know what, I'm not into drinking alcohol. I really feel like I shouldn't be doing that. Don't try to convince them to take that drink. Or maybe you're one of those people that are like, you know what, every day is a day unto the Lord. Let's go fishing on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. And your brother's like, oh, I don't know, I need to be in church. We don't want to be doing those kinds of things. We don't want to create stumbling blocks for our brothers or our sisters. And my friends, they didn't give me a hard time because I wasn't up for getting one of these tattoos. They didn't give me a hard time. They were okay with it. If your brother or sister is distressed because of you, you are not conducting yourself with love. So, if you're around non-drinking teetotalers, have a Pepsi. If you're around no bingo people, go play some mini golf. If you're hanging out with a no R-rated movie kind of person, watch something PG. If you're around no heavy metal folks, maybe you're into Metallica, turn to 91.9 instead. But we've got an interesting question that kind of comes with this that Paul does address. Should the church always bow down to the weaker, to the person that puts up more fences, to the person that takes it to a higher level than what's necessary? Do we always bow down to the weaker? I found a really good quote from R.C. Sproul. He said, "Though the stronger brother is to bend over backwards, not to offend or hurt the weaker brother, the stronger brother is not to allow the weaker brother to exercise moral tyranny over the church." I'll read that again. Though the stronger brother is to bend over backwards, not to offend or hurt the stronger brother is not to allow the weaker brother to exercise moral tyranny over the church. And we see this happening in chapter 2 of Galatians. In chapter 2 of Galatians, there were some Jewish circumcisers that showed up on the scene. And Peter, he started walking away from the Gentiles and not hanging out with them anymore because these Judaizers showed up, these people of the circumcision. And Paul had to point that out to him and say, hey, you know what? We have freedom in Christ. Don't draw back from eating with the Gentiles just because these Judaizers showed up. Those who are weaker, who have a more strict view, are not allowed to have moral tyranny over the church. All right, I'm to my last page here now. With disputable matters, our job is to do what leads to peace and mutual edification, because we don't want to cause each other to stumble, and we don't want to get wrapped up in condemning and approving. It's a real balancing act how we act with each other and with outsiders. But I did want to give you a scripture that can give you a clue on how we should be. This is what Paul says about our freedom in Christ and about the strong and weak side of things. He says in 1 Corinthians 9:19, "Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from what God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. And to the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." So Paul, when he's around the Jewish folks, he acts like a Jewish folk. When he's around the non-Jewish folks, he's a non-Jewish folk. When he's around the weak, he does what the weak do, also that he can save some with this gospel, this wonderful and awesome gospel that we have been given. Now, I do want to make some final notes. This one's addressed to the kids out there. Kids, you've got freedom in Christ, but don't forget that you're also called to honor your mother and your father and their rules. Adults, I have a final note for you too. Freedom in Christ is not a blank check. Exercising freedom in Christ, you have to be careful, because you could go down a dark road convincing yourself that sin is really good. And there's a level of caution with disputable matters. We have to be careful in interpreting and reading our Bible, seeking its truth. So, in conclusion, if you are convicted on issues like alcohol, tattoos, movies, Sabbath, gambling, music, inappropriate words, then by all means, follow those convictions. It's a vertical thing between you and God. But also, be mindful of the horizontal. Don't use your freedom in a way that will hurt others. And in the same way, when it comes to these disputable matters, don't put your laws on others either. Seek out what makes for peace and mutual edification. Let us join together in prayer.